Our message is about salvation. I love these salvation messages. It's the end of the new year, it's end of an old year, start of a new one. And we need to be reminded of what God did for us. So before we get into this message, let's rise and ask Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, for your almighty mercy you have extended towards us. You will touch each and every one that's here and those listening by internet. Their eyes of their understanding will be open to understand what you have for your creation. I thank you for your grace. I ask you to bless each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love how he mentions that. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For those people who come along, there is no such thing as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Take him to this scripture. If this scripture doesn't convince him, nothing will. It says, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Once we have this God, there's the awesome blessings. But you have to go get them. That's how it is with everything that God gives. He gives you salvation for free, but the rest, you have to go and get it for yourself, because God wants you to practice that and to go do something. You become his bride. And if he gets married one of these days, he will tell you to do something. And you'll say, well, I never learned that. It's going to be a disappointment to him. I know that for a fact. How about the gifts I give you? I never opened them to see what they are. What a disappointment to our God. How many of us have opened the gifts God has given us? Who will try to go with that excuse? Oh, I thought that went out with the apostles, so I didn't bother opening those gifts. Sorry, it was there for you, and you'll have to suffer the consequences. Not that it'll do anything to salvation, but he will lose crowns for not using those gifts. Hallelujah. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. What is the mystery of his will? A lot of people don't pay much attention to it. The mystery of his will is salvation. Hallelujah. You're going to find something here that I dug up. I'll try to give you those nuggets. Hope you will understand it, because it was a mystery till Jesus came on the scene, and then the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ brought that mystery to the human race. And that mystery has been the source of so much joy. It's unbelievable. Have made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. We're all going to be together. It's going to be an awesome time. Those who are in Christ, those who are in heaven, we will have a quite a reunion. It's going to be awesome. And then we'll start, our eyes, our ears, our understanding will open. And we will be like the seraphim around the temple of God who kept shouting day and night, holy, 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 holy. Why were they shouting that? Because that was their job? No, 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 that wasn't their job. They saw every minute something new for God, and they couldn't contain themselves, and they screamed out, holy, holy, holy. What would you say? I think I'd be in the same category, regardless what. He would show me something new. Hallelujah, Lord. It's awesome to be here. Thank you, Jesus. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom also you trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise. When do you get that revelation? Before or after you become born again? You get it after you become born again. Before you become born again, you don't know nothing except you may have an unction. There's a hell waiting, and God may be calling you, and you'll go for it. And once you believe that, that's when it is, you're sealed onto the day of redemption. How many of you have accepted Jesus as their Savior? You on the internet, have you accepted Jesus? The Bible teaches us very clear. You are now sealed unto the day of repentance. You're sealed on with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment. It is the down payment of the earnest of our inheritance. It's the down payment of our inheritance. Who has a down payment that he's sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? Hallelujah. I have one. I have a down payment. I have a down payment that I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. When will I know and experience the whole deal? When I see Jesus face to face. Then I'll see myself as I see him. And then it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of what? He give you that down payment, which is the earnest of our inheritance, which is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What's the purchased possession? It's me. It's you. He bought you. That's when you will experience the total down payment of being sealed unto the day of repentance, when he will take his purchased possession, the one that he bought, and he will say, well done, here is what you got. It's going to be awesome. So, do you have that unction? Do you have that down payment that you belong to God? Come on, give me a yes, somebody. Hallelujah. Are you on the internet? Do you know that you belong to God? It's so freeing. It says, pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. How can you rejoice evermore if you don't know that you have that down payment? I can't rejoice if I don't know I'm going to heaven. But if I know I'm going to heaven, I don't care what happens around me. And lately, things have happened around me, and I am doing what? Rejoicing in what God is going to give me. Hallelujah. And also ready given me. That's the God we serve. Hallelujah. My mic fell down. You heard me anyway. I knew I had a loud voice. Anyway, I'm a purchased possession. And one of these days, His glory will shine from my face. Hallelujah. Amen. That's His promise here. Another one. It says, I cease not to give thanks in Ephesians chapter 1. To give thanks for you, making mentions of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. He will give you the spirit of wisdom. You have to pray for it. Pray for the spirit of wisdom. Worldly wisdom is good to have, but spiritual wisdom, that's where you start seeing the awesome things of God. And it says, and the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him. A lot of people who call themselves Christians do not have the revelation on who Jesus is. This is why I have a problem with even people going to hell, because I know Jesus. The only way people, Jesus will send people to hell if they downright, straightforward, reject Him and say, I don't want you. That's the only way they will go to hell. This is the Jesus that I've gotten to know through the Bible. That's why I can walk with my head up and rejoice in God, because I know even my best friends, oh, they're not through the mill yet, but God is working on them. I might not say too much to them, but I'll talk to somebody I know who will talk to them. And then the fight is over. It's in your ballpark. Hallelujah. The eyes, and that the eyes of your understanding, they will be enlightened. Are your eyes enlightened? Have you studied the Bible that your eyes are enlightened to those things? That you know those things without wondering. I wonder if they belong to me. I wonder if they belong to me. And you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. That's your spiritual understanding. The lights of your eyes being open. God is showing you what? More and more and more and more. That's how it works. When it comes to salvation, don't beat around the bush. Tell it straight on. Don't try to pussyfoot the subject around them. Because that's when sometimes you run into problems. I remember years ago, my brother-in-law, David Stahl, who now went to meet with the Lord, I led him to the Lord. I would preach the gospel to him. And one day he said to me, let's go for a walk. And then we were about 200-300 yards away. We found a bush, went in there. He starts crying. And I said, "What are you crying for? I don't know if I can believe what you're trying to teach me." And then I said, "Lord, give me an answer for him. I have shown him everything." I still got the testament at home, the little taped up testament. I still got it. Keep it for a keepsake. So here's what the Holy Spirit told me to do. I took that little book out and I give it to him. I said, "Take, if you don't believe this book, throw it as far from you as possible and tell God you don't want nothing to do with it." Now that's putting a guy on the spot. You know what he did? He grabbed that book and said, "No, that's what I'm going to believe. Regardless how long it takes, I'm going to study, I'm going to read till I believe what this book says." And I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And from that time on, it was awesome. Hallelujah. Of course, made mistakes like we all do, but his assurance of salvation. Salvation was always in his heart. Why is that? Because I was serious when it came to telling somebody about the gospel. You don't fool around with it. But God, that's Ephesians chapter 2. "But God was rich in his mercy, for he is for his great love wherewith he loved us, wherein we were dead in sins, he has made us alive. He has quickened us together with Christ." He's risen us to the standards of Christ. Hallelujah. Study the Bible and you'll see it. He's risen us. It says, "By grace are you saved through faith. And this is not of works. By grace are you saved." It's grace, the grace of God, the mercies of God. It's not something we do. I'm not an eloquent preacher. "Oh, Dave, you're doing a good job. You're going to heaven because you've been preaching for 40 years. I'm not going to even listen for these words, because these words are not going to give me any entrance. I'm going to listen to, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You took the blood when it was available.' And it's the blood that does the trick. It's the blood that brings you into the kingdom. Nothing else. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved except for the name who? Jesus Christ. And that means his blood. His blood was shed for me. It's precious. And he died not only for me, but for the whole world. Regardless who you were, what you did, what you're doing, it don't matter. If you turn to Christ, Christ will forgive you. Just like the prodigal son was forgiven, the dad ran to him and said, "You were lost, now you're found. Give him the best robes, give him the ring." That's what's going to happen to you if you turn to this God. "So he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not only are we his now, he's already putting us in heaven where our spirits are being nourished, where our place is. That's our heavenly place, my future home." My brother-in-law Sure, I'm hurt. Sure, I cry. But in the meantime, I'm just a little bit jealous. Why? Because I know it's party time for him, and I know he likes parties. And we used to enjoy it, and most of all, we enjoyed talking about this great God that saved us. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Thank you, Jesus. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that in the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. So in the ages to come, we're going to be forever learning. That's going to be awesome. We'll be shouting, holy, 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 for the rest of eternity. I don't mind it. Why? Because I have reason to shout that. It's like when somebody watches a football game or a hockey game, and this guy scores, and everybody can't help themselves, but they all scream and shout. Do they have to? No, it's automatic. A sports fan should know about that. It's automatic. They scream, they shout, they pound their fists. They hit each other on the back. They hit each other on the head. Whatever happens, everybody's forgiven. Everybody have a good time. This year, this is going to be way, way better than a football game. So in the ages to come, he will show us the mysteries of his grace. Now here's to closing out this message. I got a chapter for you, which I've challenged myself with throughout my Christian life, and God has been faithfully assuring me. It says in Psalm 139, in verse 23, search me, O God, know my heart. I mean, search me, know my heart. I mean, let me know what's going on in here. I might not even be aware of it. And see if there be any wicked way in me. That's what I cry to the Lord. Lord, I don't want to be wicked. I want to please you. So, Lord, I give you permission to search my heart, to show me where I'm going wrong, what I'm doing wrong. And God is faithful. He will. But if he shows you something that you're doing wrong and you're still keeping it up, then you got a problem. Then things may happen, or he might just stay quiet for the rest of your life. But it says, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So I got a challenge for those of you on television or on the internet, on the radio. Ask God to check your heart. Challenge yourself. Am I doing right? Am I walking truly holy for God? What's going on inside me? Do I have some hidden sin that I try to keep hidden from everybody else, and I'm not showing to anybody? What you read on the internet nowadays, it's awful what preachers are doing. You cannot but shake your head. How on earth can they get into a pulpit and preach if their heart is so full of demonic activity? But God gives, give God the challenge. Ask him to show you your heart. Let him show it, and tell him to keep pounding on that spot till you open your heart to him. and release that evil that he's trying to get rid of. So let the Lord open your heart and make you a blessing. Not only we heard a nice message, but if you meet somebody, try talking to him. You know, we're running out of time, and Jesus is about to come back to bring his bride unto himself. So let the Lord bless you and make you a blessing.